The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramina. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramina.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone, and happy July 4th for those who celebrate that holiday. I just returned from Hillsborough, North Carolina, where I got to spend an entire day at Adam and Eve talking to all the employees about my new movie, Tristan Taramina's Guide to Kinky Sex for Couples. And we're going to talk about that movie on next week's show. But on this week's show, we've got quite a guest, and I've been looking forward to talking to her probably since I started this show because she's one of my favorite people in the adult industry. I'll tell you about her in just a moment. I'm actually taking July and August off from travel, so I'm really looking forward to spending home time, and I can recharge and relax, which I really desperately need. My next public appearance won't be until September, when you can see me at Catalyst Con West, a fantastic sex-positive conference which takes place September 27th to the 29th in Woodland Hills, California. You can register at catalystcon.com. If you use coupon code Tristan, you can get $10 off your registration. Sex Out Loud is proud to be a sponsor of Catalyst Con, and we'll be recording special episodes in front of a live studio audience there. Also, on the Friday before the conference begins, I'm teaching two sex educator boot camps. Level one for aspiring and beginning sex educators, and level two for those who've been working in the field for at least a year or who've taken level one. You can register for one or both of these at catalystcon.com. We're live today, which means we're taking your calls. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio or on facebook.com/AskTristan. My guest today is Joanna Angel, a writer.
Hi
Joanna. Let me tell everyone about you.
Okay.
She's a writer, producer, director, model, and award-winning adult film star. She's the founder and owner of Burning Angel Entertainment, a production company that has pioneered alt porn. For those of you who don't know, the alt stands for alternative, and alt porn, as well as Burning Angel, celebrates girls with tattoos, piercings, and various kind of punk rock aesthetics. And it features lots of interviews with bands and album reviews and creates an entirely different kind of an alt porn community of people who both enjoy punk rock girls and music and want a little hardcore sex and some music on the side. Joanna has starred in over 300 adult movies and has appeared in every major adult magazine, as well as gracing the pages of several tattoo magazines. She's been featured on Fox News, Playboy TV, Fuse TV, G4, TLC's LA Inc., and she has a speaking role on Adult Swim's Children's Hospital. I just love her to death. I think she's one of the best people in adult, and so I'm really excited to have you on the show, Joanna.
Well, hello there. We have mutual admiration for one another, because I think you are one of the best people in adult, so I think that's great.
Now,
thank you. I'm truly flattered.
Thank you. I mean, you launched Burning Angel in 2002, so you've been at it now for more than a decade.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people, I feel like not everybody really realizes that we've been around for that long, but you've known us since the beginning, you know, because I was living in New York and you were living in New York and I went to a lot of your events and stuff. And a lot of people don't really know the beginning of us until like we started being, you know, on the West Coast and like being in mainstream porn movies and stuff like that. So, but it has been over a decade and it's really weird. It's kind of like it started and it just keeps going really quickly. And I haven't had the chance to look back. So it's really been a crazy ride.
You started it with Mitch Fontaine when you were both at Rutgers together. But back then, could you imagine that it would become what it has become?
No, I had no idea. I mean, I thought this was just going to be something we did for like a couple months. Like I also didn't really know very much about the industry. I didn't really understand like the potential that it had. And I think some of my innocence and the fact that, and my like lack of business plan is sort of what made the site what it is today. And I'm kind of glad I went into this not knowing like what the hell was going to happen or where it was going to go. So, but yeah, I had no idea. This was just sort of like a weird experiment or like, I don't know. I did a lot of strange little things that never went anywhere when I was in college. So I just figured this was the same thing as all those other things. Like, so,
but this one really went somewhere.
Yes, this turned into a career and I wasn't expecting that. But it's cool. I love my life and I'm very thankful for everything. And I've worked so hard for everything that we have and I still feel like we have a long way to go. So, I'm very happy.
I was talking to someone about the site the other day and they described it as Suicide Girls, but with hardcore sex. How do you feel about being compared to Suicide Girls?
It doesn't happen now as much as it used to because, Suicide Girls has changed a little bit. And I think because they're very adamant about being softcore. So we don't get compared about them. We don't get compared to them as much, but I don't know. I mean, I get it. I mean, when you look through all the other adult companies or anything even remotely adult, obviously the girls are the most similar to Suicide Girls just on looking at them. We do have a lot of girls on the website that were Suicide Girls at some point in time or are still on there, however they work. I think in the early days when we were really trying to form an identity, that offended me, but it doesn't offend me anymore. I mean, you know, I don't really like the politics that Suicide Girls has or, you know, they seem to have this whole world that I don't really understand. But, you know, just as a business, I mean, they are the biggest business that exists with this kind of style of girl. So I understand why people compare the two of us, but the way we operate and the way that they operate is so completely different. But we both have, you know, alternative style girls and we both have like the girl profiles and just like certain features. You know, we do have the same that aren't really common on a lot of other people's websites, but I don't know. I think we have our own identity now, so I don't feel like we're in their shadow or anything like that. We're just, you know, two companies.
I was recently reading this article by Rachel Hoden, who was writing about Brooklyn's porn industry, if you can call it that. And I immediately thought of your beginnings shooting porn in Brooklyn.
Did she interview me for that? I think she did.
Yeah, right? You were quoted. So do you still shoot in Brooklyn? Because I know Burning Angel is now bi-coastal, technically.
Yeah, we don't really shoot in Brooklyn anymore. I mean, maybe like once or twice a year we'll do something there, but... we don't really shoot there anymore. So I tried to be clear about that in the article. I remember when she interviewed me, I was like, I feel bad that you're interviewing me. So I want to be clear about what exactly we do. Cause, you know, but I don't think there's that much of a porn industry in Brooklyn.
Yeah, no. And the article, the article was like, still didn't really establish that there was. I mean, I feel like she was trying to make it happen, but it didn't.
I know that's so I just kept saying that. And she was like, I just kept saying that, and I think I was bumming her out. And I was like, I don't really think there's a porn industry in Brooklyn. There happens to be a handful of people that live in Brooklyn that either did or do porn. Like, you know, we do have an office in Brooklyn, but we do a lot of boring stuff there. And
well, I think part of why people associate you with Brooklyn is also because...
You started there.
And the girls on your site, to me... don't feel like, I mean, they're obviously not at all like this sort of traditional California girl porn aesthetic. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think it's just more of the feeling. And, you know, I'm in Brooklyn a lot, you know, and I've done a lot of events there and I've done, you know, a lot of parties there and stuff like that. But actual shooting, we've done very little of. But...
You're not just in Brooklyn though. You're kind of everywhere.
And on the internet, you're like, you know, you're kind of all over the place. So, but yeah,
I was reading on your Twitter feed that you, cause you do a lot of feature dancing on the, on the road. And, I know you were recently in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes. I was there over the weekend.
And like feature dancing at strip clubs strikes me as one of the most traditional kind of mainstream sex industry jobs. And so I'm just wondering what it's like for you to go to Oklahoma looking the way that you do, which is far from a kind of traditional notion of beauty. I mean, I could just imagine you getting off the plane and everyone in the airport sort of turning around and being like, who is that?
Yeah, it is. I kind of get treated like a rock star everywhere. Like people think I'm very exciting. Like even like, I just like walked across the street when I was at my hotel to get food and people were like kids were like pointing at me like, Mom, like, what's that? but I don't know. I know it seems odd that I dance, but it is a really good way to like interact with fans on a different level. Cause when you do conventions and stuff, you're standing there, you're fully clothed. There's like a line of people and you only have so much time to spend with each person. You know, when you're feature dancing, I think it's just like a more intimate way. Like, you know, a fan can like buy a lap dance from you. That's like a really big deal. You know, that's like something they can touch you, you know, they can see you up close and kind of see you as a real person and not just like someone standing there. You know, since I do like to have as much interaction with my fans as possible, feature dancing is nice, but, you know, you can't just show up somewhere and feature dance. You kind of have to get hired to do it. So I don't do it nearly as much as a lot of the other girls because of the way I look. And also because of my career, like strip clubs are very old fashioned. So if you don't have like, oh, this girl has a contract with this big company or this girl has been on like these box covers at these companies, like to them, that's what fame is. So saying like, oh, she's like the head of Burning Angel doesn't really mean anything to most strip club owners. So if I do dance somewhere, it's usually because people were coming in the club and asking for me or the club like specifically wanted me because they want to try, you know, someone different. So I always get treated really well because, you know, since they have to hire me and they have to like fly me out there and stuff like that. It's not like I show up and everyone's like, what are you doing here? Like there's always, you know, ample announcement that I'm going to be there. So I'm just always flattered when it happens. And Oklahoma, this was actually one of the first times I've gone to dance in the middle of the country. I feel like my entire like feature dancing career, I'm always called to dance either on the West Coast or the East Coast. Cause it just seemed to be, I don't know. where people knew me the most. So I was really happy just the fact that they called, you know, the fact that people know about me in places like that, like obviously means that the company is, you know, more successful than it used to be. Cause I don't think that 7 or 8 years ago, anybody knew who the hell I was in Oklahoma.
So. Well, they certainly know now. And speaking of your fans, we've got a ton of questions from fans. We also have someone who's already on the line. So
yay.
I want to tell the person who's holding, we are going to take your question. But first, we've got to take a commercial break and hear from our fantastic sponsors. Okay. So I promise we're going to get to all your questions. Caller, stay on the line. And everyone else, please stay with us. More with Joanna Angel, the punk porn princess herself, when we return.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to thank my fabulous presenting sponsor, Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations has really an incredible lineup, 6 retail stores, a wholesale product line, and of course their website at goodvibes.com. You can use coupon code TristanGoodVibes, all one word, TristanGoodVibes, and get a discount on your next order at goodvibes.com. So you should definitely do that. And we're live today and taking your calls at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Speaking of which, we have our first caller on the line who is legend. I wonder if this person is a legend from Ohio. Ohio, welcome.
I'm definitely a pretentious asshole.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for calling in.
My question is, what's the best way to approach you and attempt to, like, take you out if you are single?
Oh.
Well, I'm not single right now, but I was at one point in time, and I actually did, you know, I did go on dates with a couple of fans here and there at the time when I was. I don't know, it's really not much different to, like, hit on me than it would be to hit on anybody else, you know, like, I think if you...
Is there, like specific things that you like, or... Like...
I don't know. You know, I like people with a sense of humor. I always tend to, you know, be attracted to people these days. I think it's... I'm always attracted to people that know, know a lot about things that I don't know about because it's interesting to hear about. Like I guess I did go on a couple of dates with people or have experiences with people where like they kind of just didn't really. I like learning new things. You know, I like to be like challenged a little bit, and okay. I guess I live in my own world, and I'm constantly hearing about the same things all the time. So it's nice when I hear about something new. And I don't know, I like it when guys are respectful, and I like it when guys can make me laugh, and it's nice when somebody has some confidence. And I don't know. I really think it's not that much different than other girls. It's just about connecting with someone, and that's how you hit it off with someone.
Okay.
Okay, so bank that information in case she becomes single again. I think that you just need to, like, right. record that information in your brain. And so you're saying, Joanna, that you would date someone outside the industry. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, I am, actually.
Oh, you are
actually,
right now.
I kind of, like, never want to date someone in the industry again. I think I'm done with that.
Oh. Okay, so this is good information for people who might be interested in the future.
Yeah, so I'm not, looking for a porn star, you know, or somebody to talk to me about porn. I think I have enough of talking about porn in my life, so I like it. You know, I like learning new things and discovering new things, and you know, but I think it's pretty similar for most females. You know, you just have to have a connection with someone and then you hit it off. And it's hard because you can't really force that connection. It kind of just has to happen. So when people ask for advice, like, how do I pick up a girl? It's like, I don't really know. You kind of just have to click with someone and you got to just be in the right place to find the right person that you're clicking with. And it's a difficult thing, but yeah.
Thanks for your call, legend. We've got an email question that came in from William, who says he's a first-time listener. So welcome, William. He tuned into the show because he's a fan of yours and of Burning Angel. And he says, how do you balance your obvious smarts with an industry that seems to reward the opposite? There will always be a niche for intelligence, but how do you raise the overall game?
Oh, my Lord.
Good question.
I don't know. I'm not trying to raise the game. I don't know. Sometimes it's actually a problem because I feel like sometimes I go on radio shows and then, like, I see the hosts and I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm so boring. You guys think – you guys need, like, a – like a more ditzy, like more, you guys probably needed a different porn star for this bit, or like, you know, a lot of radio shows that want porn stars in their radio shows, they like want to do these things that are kind of like retarded or like, you know, like just like really over the top kind of stupid and, you know,
raunchy,
like weird,
kind of,
like, yeah, these weird bits that just like aren't really funny, you know, and I'm kind of snarky, so I have a hard time playing along with stuff like that. So then I just wind up being mean, and I don't know, but then it creates a funny dynamic. But I mean, I just act like myself, you know. There's a lot of different kinds of personalities in this industry, and it's not like I'm the only smart person and everybody's an idiot all around me. Like I don't view myself that way, you know, but I just kind of try to pick and choose what's, you know, where I belong and, you know, and where I don't belong. Like, you know, I don't need to go to every single porn event that exists because I know sometimes, you know, I'm just not going to fit in. And then there's other places in the industry that I feel very comfortable. But I, you know, I think all the different personalities that exist inside of porn, like, I think they make it what it is. You know, I'm not trying to raise the bar. Like, I don't think it's a horrible thing that a lot of girls that are on camera, you know, didn't go to college and stuff like that. A lot of really amazing performers that look beautiful on camera, maybe, you know, just because they haven't like read the Canterbury Tales, it doesn't make them bad people. You know, like, I'd rather a person that doesn't have a super high IQ be a porn star and not be like a surgeon that's going to like mess up someone's life or something. But there are a lot of really smart people in the industry. I think it's just not the exciting thing that the media wants to show. So you don't get to hear a lot of these smart people talk a lot, you know, because people, I don't know, people like making porn stars look dumb. So It's almost like sometimes, you know, mainstream media goes out and particularly looks for the people that are least able to speak in a public forum, and they make them speak in a public forum just so they have something to laugh at on TV. And I don't think that's very nice. Right. I don't believe in exploiting people, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, there's another question from another fan from DB, and this one is kind of related to what you said. This may seem like an unusual question, they write, but I know you're a big nerd, so I want to know what you're reading these days and who your favorite authors and books are.
Let's see. I know I haven't been reading now as much as I used to because I've been so busy, but I like reading. I'm reading now just like a book of short stories by David Sedaris. I always like reading him because his stuff is very funny and very on point, and you can just kind of pick up and read it whenever you want. I've been in the middle of reading Tina Fey's biography forever, and I keep putting it down and not finishing it, but it's really good. I guess when I was younger, and I probably read a lot more. I really liked Nabokov. You know, he wrote Lolita. Because he wrote stuff that was really smart and really dirty at the same time. I've always really liked Jonathan Ames. He has I don't know if it's still going on. He has a TV show on HBO now, so it seems like a lot of other people liked him as well. So I don't know. I like some stuff that's really serious and some stuff that's funny. I guess I've always gravitated more towards self-deprecating writing. It's just always kind of been my thing.
Another fan sent this question in by email who says, I love the music reviews on Burning Angel as much as the porn. What albums inspire you the most on the set? Do you play music on the set?
We can play music on the set because, well, sometimes we do, but a lot of times, I mean, and you know this, Tristan, like when you're not shooting, you're trying to record BTS all the time. And so if you're playing music on set, the music is going to wind up on the BTS camera behind the scenes, and then you're going to have to take it out because we don't have a license to use most music that would be in my iPod. But
what albums do you listen to on a regular basis? What kind of music?
I like a lot of different music. I don't know. I like punk. I like metal. And then, you know, I like some other just, I think they just call it like indie rock. Hipster stuff, you know, like I really like Rancid and the Bouncing Souls. I like Gaslight Anthem and Hot Water Music and stuff like that. I've been listening to that kind of stuff a lot lately just because it's happy and fun and it's the summer and it's like fun to listen to like more upbeat stuff in the summer. But and I like a lot of metal too. I like you know, like Pantera and Slayer and even some of the newer bands. Like I like In Flames and I like Killswitch Engage and even like Bullet for My Valentine, even though they're a little bit cheesy. I like some of the newer kind of like dancey music. Like I like Lana Del Rey and some stuff like that. I usually don't talk about it that much, but and, like Tegan and Sarah and stuff like that. But I listen to a lot of music. I don't know, I've always been kind of like a music nerd, and I always, to this day, like I don't like to be one of those jaded people about music. Like I still read about new bands, and I'm on like every music label's email list, and I always try to check out new bands, and if I like someone, we'll feature them on Burning Angel. And you know, we always try to help out smaller bands on smaller labels and stuff on Burning Angel, and we're always looking for people that we think are talented and might need more publicity. And I like the fact that Burning Angel is at the point like where we can actually help other bands, and sometimes we'll get bands and we'll use some of their music and in our movies if they need extra exposure. And I think I remember at the beginning I was like begging bands to have interviews on Burning Angel, and nobody really wanted to, but they like felt bad for me, so they would be like, okay, fine, you could do this interview, but just this once, or you have 2 minutes. And now like so many labels and stuff are like, can you please feature my band on the website? And that makes me so happy that we're actually a legit source, you know, to the music industry of how to like get exposure for their bands. And we're not just like known as some weird, dirty like thing. And that was always my goal from the beginning, to, you know, to be a place where people could actually learn a little bit about music, because I think it's important.
And did that really come out of just your love of music, that you wanted to always feature this intersection on the site? I mean, when you first thought about it?
It really did. I mean, I came from the music scene. I didn't have any friends that were in porn. All of my friends were like in the music scene. And that's how we got our first push. Like, I remember right when we launched, there was this big like metal punk festival going on, and I like handed out flyers there, and I knew some of the promoters, so they like let me hang up a banner. And all the first, you know, probably 2-3 years that Burning Angel was up, I think that's how we really got people to know who we were. It's because I had so many friends that either owned record labels or were in bands, or like were in small bands when I knew them that became much bigger bands, and bands were wearing our t-shirts at their shows, or like they would plug us during interviews, or they would, you know, a lot of people helped us out. And I'll always remember that. And people, you know, and they weren't getting anything out of it. You know, we didn't even at the time have like porn to be like, hey, you can have free porn if you wear this. If you wear this shirt. We were like a website with like 8 photo sets or something. I mean, these were just people that I kind of grew up with, and I grew up in that scene, and it was a very loyal and like helpful scene where everybody helped each other out, and like people who had small labels would help each other out and stuff like that. So that's like sort of where I learned, you know, a lot of the morals that I still have today. But yeah, it all just came out of my love for music. And a lot of bigger bands really helped us out in the beginning too. And by being featured on the website, it helped get our name out there. And people really, like at the time, you know, a lot of the bands that agreed to do interviews, it wasn't doing anything for them. It was helping us out. It wasn't helping them out. And they were just doing it because they like believed in what I was doing. So it was a really amazing thing.
And now you can give that back to some bands,
yeah,
which is fantastic.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. We need to take another commercial break and hear from our great sponsors, including WeVibe, which makes the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Have you seen the new WeVibe 3? It's amazing. Go to we-vibe.com to find out more. And coming up, more questions. The questions have been pouring in for you, Joanna.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'll hopefully get to everyone's questions. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how she's changed the industry, because I think she has changed the adult industry for the better. So we're going to talk about that after the break. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than 3 decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at 6 retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking today with Joanna Angel, the founder and head of Burning Angel Entertainment. Hello. Joanna, you and a number of other people, certainly Ian MacKay, was instrumental in the early alt porn movement. He's since retired from his porno days. But I think that Burning Angel and you have been instrumental in shifting standards of beauty and what is considered desirable. You've really made punk girls and girls with tattoos and piercings and multicolored hair cool and sexy. And I'm wondering, you know, it's funny that now I think you have the power to launch your own stars. I mean, it used to be that if you looked a certain way, you just couldn't really become well known or have a following within porn. And now that has shifted. And I think that's due in large part to the work that you've done in showcasing these other looks, these other kind of girls.
Well, thank you.
I've also noticed that you have never strayed from your own aesthetic. You never said, okay, that's it. I'm going to stop. No. I'm going to stop with the pink hair and I'm going to get boob implants. Like you,
no.
You haven't. You still look like essentially, you're a look has evolved.
I look like younger now. Like I think as I get older, I just want to like do more weird shit to myself. But I guess I'm also lucky, you know, I don't have to think like, oh, I can't get this tattoo or I can't do this because it's bad for my job. So I'm lucky in that sense. But I didn't. And I even remember there was, I don't know, I think like in the earlier days, like there were people who tried to sway us in that direction and be like, oh, why don't you just make a movie that I don't know, basically said like, why don't you just make a mainstream porn movie, but like call it Burning Angel or something, you know, or why don't you just like, I don't know. I know that there was a time where people were kind of trying to sway us in that direction because once we sort of got involved in all the hoopla of big mainstream LA porn, like there were different people who claimed we could like make so much more money or whatever if we went in a different direction. I just never wanted to do that. You know, I really want to do what we do. I love the girls that we shoot, you know, and I love that like on my shoot, like we see so many different body types, you know, so many kinds of girls from so many kinds of places. And, you know, it's not fair. There is more than just one kind of girl that's pretty, you know, like it's not fair, you know, for the porn industry to always paint, like, if you don't look like this, like you're not pretty. And that's a hard thing, I think, for females, you know, to swallow. And it's not what everybody wants to see, you know?
And so that raises the question of, do you consider yourself a feminist?
Oh, I mean, I do, but I feel like every time if I say it, like somebody, that's just a word that makes so many different people like want to jump down your throat and like say, no, you're not, because you do this, 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 and this. And like, I've always felt like a feminist, you know, and I, when I went to school and I studied, when, you know, I took women's studies classes, like, the way I learned what feminism was, it means that you believe, like I remember one of my teachers saying once, and it was in one of the many books that we read, it was like, if you're a feminist, then you believe that we exist inside of a patriarchy and you have to fight hard and do whatever you can to break out of that, you know? And I do think that that exists. However, my thoughts might not go exactly in line with every other feminist out there. And I think once you use the term like porn and feminism, I feel like a lot of people think you can't say you're a feminist pornographer unless you shoot movies that have girls like fucking guys with strap-ons or something. And I have obviously nothing against anything like that. That's just not what we shoot and that's not what we do and that's not what my fan base wants. Or maybe there might be people that want it, but it's not an overwhelming, you know, response. Like we have our thing and I like doing what we do for the reason that we do, or just because we don't shoot an overwhelming amount of girls that might have like, I don't know, hairy armpits or that shave their legs or something, then a lot of people would say, well, that's not feminist. And then it just gets into this whole big debate where just because I don't want to showcase like every different kind of sex act and every different kind of female, that means I'm not a feminist, you know? But I think you know, we do have our own thing, and it just gets kind of hard. A lot of people get so sensitive about that word, so I try not to use it too much. But I do, like, inside consider myself a feminist, and I've worked very hard as a woman to run this company and never let the fact that I am a woman get in the way of anything. And, you know, I don't bat my eyelashes and smile to get where I'm getting. You know, I've gotten to where I've gotten just by making a solid product and having a fan base and listening to what people want and giving it back to them and working my ass off. I never, like, you know, got any, like, backhand deals by, like, shaking someone's hand or, like, you know what I mean, or, like, dating someone or fucking someone or something. You know, like, I've really, like, worked hard to be what I am, and I behave just like a regular business person. I don't use the fact that I'm a woman to try to get more out of anyone or make any deals on that, you know, on that end. And I'm sure you understand the same thing. I'm sure you face the same problems, you know?
Absolutely. And I wonder how your family feels about you being an entrepreneurial porn star. I remember I met some of your sisters at an event.
Yeah.
At Yale.
I love to. Yeah.
And they were, like, really supportive of you. And so does that go across the board to your whole family?
You know, at first it was really hard. Some people in my family were obviously not into it. And there's definitely a lot of people in my family that are not really into it. But the fact that I do run the business, I do have a lot I can talk about with my family that isn't what I do on camera, you know? So I think, like, when my dad talks to me about work, like, we just leave that part out. And he, like, just asks me, like, about stats and numbers or, like, you know, you can... a lot of what I do, it just, when you take the sex out of it, it sounds like any other kind of business, you know? And, so I'm able to talk a lot about that. And I know that my dad is like proud of me and he's happy for me. And, I know that, you know, my mom gets uncomfortable sometimes, and of course she would be, you know, inhuman if she didn't get uncomfortable. But I think now, because it's been 10 years and she's met girls that I work with, she's met people who work for me, she sees that it's not such a strange thing. I think it's just become more normal to her, you know, and she sees that I'm not hanging out with a bunch of, like, drug addicts or, like, I'm not, like, in the wrong crowd kind of thing. And so it makes her more comfortable. I do have, like, some aunts and uncles that, you know, they don't really want to talk to me, or if they do, they kind of give me, like a guilt trip. And I know it doesn't come from a bad place. They're just, they think that they need to save me or something, but family is really important to me, and family is really important to my family. So even the people in my family who didn't talk to me for a little while, we resolved issues, and we just kind of got to the place where, like, we're just going to, like, agree to disagree. We're family, and I'm not going to talk about my job around you, and you're not going to, you know, disrespect me. And we just, you know, behave like whatever. We just kind of leave that out. But, it was a tough thing. You know, I think that's part of being in the porn industry. And that might also be what I like about it, is that it is kind of weird and it is taboo and you are in this strange world. But, I mean, a lot of things became hard. The bigger my name got and the bigger the company got, you know, it became harder to, like, date people, became harder with people in my family. And those are challenges. And that's why I get really upset when so many people in the industry fight with each other. It's like, we shouldn't be fighting with each other. Like, we already have to deal with, like, all the bullshit we face from the rest of the world. Like, why are we being mean to each other? But I don't know, maybe I'm just, like, a weird hippie or something. But it always makes me upset because we have so much to deal with, you know, with the outside world. So,
well, it seems to me, it does make sense that the adult industry people should stick together, not just because we all face the stigma, but also because I think we would be a little more organized and have our shit together a little bit more.
I know.
If we would, like, put aside some petty differences.
I know. There's too many egos and stuff, and people get very sensitive and very upset, and I don't know. I mean, I know that there's competition. There has to be competition, like, in every industry, but, you know, we should still be able to work together. It's silly, but.
Well, I think one of the reasons that things have gotten probably even more tight and sort of anxious is that the porn economy has obviously shifted pretty drastically with tube sites and tons of piracy. And I'm wondering how it has affected your business.
You know, I'm really, really thankful that we are still in business. I mean, I know that porn is free in a lot of places, and the fact that people still pay for mine, is it makes me very happy. I do think, you know, with the business, like we started and we just kind of like kept going up, and then we got to a certain place where we just plateaued. And that's not horrible. We never went down after all the piracy happened, but I do think we could be at a much different place right now if that didn't happen. You know, I think that we wouldn't have reached that plateau, and I think we could be a much bigger business than we are now. And most of our money comes from people signing up for the website. We never decreased, and I know a lot of other companies did. And that's why I'm just so thankful to have the fans that I do, because I'm sure every member of my website has to know that they can watch a lot of the stuff that's on my site for free somewhere, and they still decide to pay for it because they like the community, or they just like being, you know, they like being a part of it, or they feel this kind of like loyalty to us. And that's really amazing to feel like from a porn site, you know, and the fact that we've been able to kind of instill that. I'm really happy we started when we did, because I don't know if we just started now, if we'd be able to survive. And now is a really tough time to start, because you'd have to compete with free stuff. But,
do you think that the fact that you offer something unique and different has helped you in this economy?
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. We would not be around. I mean, and a lot of companies that just made kind of run-of-the-mill porn and made as much as they could of it, they're not around anymore. So there's no way we would still be in business if we didn't shoot the type of girl that we shoot, and we didn't have the community that we did on the website, and we didn't have all the personality on the website. I know that we wouldn't exist. We really try to make people feel like they're part of something. Like, yeah, you could go to a tube site and you could look at a handful of videos, and they might even at this point have the style of girl that's similar to our website, but it's not going to be the same, you know, feeling of having everything in one place. And I don't know, we do try to monitor what we put on tube sites pretty well, but ultimately it's hard to catch everything. But yeah, there's no way we would still be in business if it wasn't for the uniqueness of what we do. What we've always done, and I think this might be similar to like the Suicide Girls model, we've always had a very strong emphasis on our photos. Like, our photos are actually updates. Like, the website gets updated several times a week, and like one day we'll have a video update, and one day we'll have a photo update, and one day we'll have a video update, and one day we'll have a photo update. And that's just kind of always what we did. And it's really standard in porn to just... photos are just these things that are right next to the video, just as like they're just there and like barely anybody looks at them, and they're not like a real thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think the fact that we have that too, I think that really adds to it, because I don't know, it's just like another piece of content. And even though, yeah, you can find photos anywhere, but just having like a really unique photo set that's not just like there next to the video, it's its own thing. Like, we have members that sign up and they just want to look at the pictures because they really like looking at pictures of hot naked girls, and just having everything together, I think, just adds to, like, I don't know, why people sign up. And I'm very thankful, and we just relaunched the website. It's a little bit screwy right now, because in every relaunch things get screwy, but we're gonna have so many new features now, and I hope it just gets better. And we really do listen to every complaint of every member, and we try to fix whatever problems we have, and we just want to make sure people are happy. So it's a mixture of everything.
Well, we're going to take another break so I can hear from my sponsors. Something that goes really well with a membership to Burning Angel is lube. Because
exactly.
lube makes sex better. And you can get a free sample of Astroglide by going to astroglide.com. Stay with us. We are going to get to more of your questions and hear about what Joanna's up to next when we return from this commercial break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Looking to add something fun and different to your sexual experiences? Then try Astroglide X, premium silicone personal lubricant. Astroglide X contains a unique blend of high-quality silicones that provide a silky smooth experience unlike any other. Astroglide X is also waterproof and perfect for water play. Not only does Astroglide X last longer than all water-based products and is hypoallergenic and latex safe, it's even great for massage. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We've been talking today with Joanna Angel, the founder and owner of Burning Angel Entertainment. We've got another fan question from Henny B, who says, Joanna, I love your porn, and I also love Walking Dead, so I'm stoked to see your new movie that's coming out. How did it come about? And, of course, I think this person's talking about the porn parody of Walking Dead.
Yep, that's me. We made Walking Dead. It's coming out really soon. And it is probably the biggest movie that we will have done all year. And it's definitely funny. I tried to make a comedic parody of it because I'm not really good at making really serious, you know, porn movies. But I don't know. It has all the characters that you love in it. Like Michonne is in it. She's played by Skin. And then I played Lori. And then we had Andrea. And we had Carl and Rick and Sophia and, I don't know, Shane, all the characters, and a bunch of zombies. And, oh, yeah, we had Daryl. I don't know. It was really fun to do.
I feel like you were ahead of the game in terms of all this zombie stuff, though, because you did a kind of a zombie porno early on in your career.
Yeah, we did. That was, like, one of the first movies I ever did. It was Repenetrator. It was a parody of Reanimator. Yeah, that was one of the first movies we did. I won an Avian Award for Most Outrageous Sex Scene for that. But, yeah, you know, we did a couple parodies really early on, and now parodies are, like, this big thing. You know, we're never going to be one of those companies that makes a parody, like, every single week. Like, ultimately, at the end of the day, I like when the girls look like themselves. I don't want to like dress up the girls like a character out of a TV show every single time we do a shoot. It gets exhausting. But when something comes along that we just think is really appropriate for the company, we'll do it. And I'm always taking, you know, suggestions for what to do next. So if anybody has, you know, thinks that I should remake a certain horror movie, if I get asked about it enough, I'll probably do it. So.
How do you find the time to interact with all your friends and followers on Twitter, on Instagram, listen to all your fans and community members on the website, and still make porn?
I don't know. It's a lot. I'm definitely a very busy person. I also have, you I'm sure get the same thing, you know, because you still find the time to make porn sometimes, and you know, a lot of it comes from just having a really solid crew that you can depend on. That makes things a lot easier. Then you don't have to do a lot of the bullshit work that, you know, that goes into pre-production. When you have a good crew, like, everything's just so set up when you get there, and then all you got to do is just kind of be like, you do this and you do this, and it makes life, like, very easy when you have a great cameraman or, you know, just a good, nice, reliable group of people that always kind of know what you want. But it's hard. It's a lot of work. We're shooting on Monday, and I sometimes have these, like, nightmares of myself, like, going to set, and everybody's looking at me going, like, what do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's like a weird recurring dream that I have that we go to set and nobody knows what they're supposed to do. And it's really strange. But,
so, what are you shooting on Monday, and what's coming up for you? What are you working on?
So Walking Dead is coming out next. I actually have a movie that I'm really proud of that's coming up, I think, after Walking Dead, later this summer. I made a movie called Band Sluts, and it's a movie about me and Tommy Pistol in, like, a two-piece band that sort of parodies, like, the White Stripes. And I actually, and it's really funny, and it's all about us being on tour and, like, the band failing miserably at everything that it's doing. It's, like, shot, like, mockumentary style. But I actually... For the movie, I'm still making tweaks to it, and I am going to put it out there. I wrote a song because we're a band and we have to play a song in the movie. So I actually wrote a song for the movie, and I'm going to try to put the song on iTunes and stuff so the song can come out with the movie. And I'm pretty excited about that. And the song is called Give Me Some Pants, and it's about looking for pants when you can't find them, and it's pretty silly. But it's actually, like, a good song, and I had, like, some professional people I know, like, help me with the song. So it's actually a really good song.
So you wrote it and recorded it. So you sing on it.
Yeah, I sing on it.
And what sort of genre song is it?
It's kind of like a hipster song, because the band in the movie is, like, a hipster band. So, like, it has, like, keyboards in it. I guess it kind of sounds like, I don't know if you know that band, The Sounds, or I don't know. It'll be out there soon, and you'll get to hear it. Maybe you can play it on your radio show.
That is super exciting.
So that was fun, and that movie's going to be called Band Sluts. This week, I'm actually shooting... It's weird that we've been in the... You know, I've been directing porn for this long, and I haven't made one of these yet, but I'm making a slumber party movie. I'm not going to be in it, but it's a movie about... I think I'm going to call it Pajama Party Punks or Slumber Party Punks. I'm not sure which title I should use, but it's a movie actually about me having a bunch of people over, because I want everyone to see a comet that only shows up once every 10 years or something, but everybody else is coming over because they think it's like an orgy. And I really care about the comet, and everybody else is just coming over to have sex and whatever. Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Okay, so those are two great, great projects that we will be out on the lookout for, along with the fictional comet. Thank you so much for being on the show, Joanna. I really appreciate
it.
Kristen,
I love everything that you do, and I'm so glad we've managed to stay in touch over the years. And I'm honored to be on the show. And yeah, thank you for having me on. And I'm glad that you're going to have a relaxing summer and taking some time to yourself.
Well, everyone, Joanna Angel is a writer, producer, director, model, and award-winning adult film star. She's the founder and owner of Burning Angel Entertainment, which you can find at burningangel.com. And you can find her personal website, joannaangel.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Joanna Angel. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. And if you want to find me, check out my website, puckerup.com, or if you need something that's safe for work, you can go to tristantaramino.com. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, including executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also, and you should, subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guests will be two of the stars of my new movie, Tristan Taramino's Guide to Kinky Sex for Couples, Derek Pierce and Aiden Starr.
They're both so awesome.
They're awesome. Yeah, Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter @SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.